I do want to express one word to you in light of everything that has been said and the thoughts that are on our hearts and minds tonight, and that is thank you. A word that is certainly on the heart of your seminary presidents as we consider the role of this executive committee and the Southern Baptist Convention at large is thank you. Thank you for your generous support of the seminaries of the Southern Baptist Convention. And I want to express personal appreciation and say thank you for your generous support of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. The Lord has blessed us greatly. I will just tell you in encapsulation that tonight there are more students on Southern Seminary's campus than we ever expected this time last year. We expected an increase, but the Lord has given us exceedingly and abundantly above even what we expected. We have problems of running out of dorm space and classroom space and parking space. And just as a dead church has no such problems, neither does a declining seminary. But we're glad to be one of your seminaries, and the Lord is blessing us greatly, sending students, and the kind of students that we believe are coming with a passion for God, a love for the church, and they are drawn by the very convictions that we have so carefully defined together in recent years. I want to say thank you for your financial support. Thank you for the students you send to us. Thank you for your prayer. Thank you for holding us accountable. When you look at the landscape of theological education across America and you look over the last couple of centuries, it is one tragedy after another. And when you consider what has happened in denomination after denomination, control and accountability has been forfeited and lost in terms of the seminaries. And once that happens, inevitably those institutions become the instruments of ruin for the denominations they serve. I am thankful that Southern Baptists are the contrarian example, because you consider the price of theological fidelity worth and indeed beyond compare when considering the cost of forfeiting that responsibility. There are some who would have you to think that those who teach on our faculties are recalcitrant rebels who are drawn by the chains of a repressive confession of faith. There are those who would imply that the seminaries have a difficult time finding those who are willing to teach within the parameters of what Southern Baptists believe and would expect their theology professors and seminary professors to believe. That is hardly the case, and we would not hire them if they so existed. We are glad to tell you that there are godly scholars who would not teach anywhere but in an institution that stood by these convictions and made this accountability plain. They teach not because they have been constrained to teach, but because they have been called by God to teach, and they want to stand where we so publicly stand as a convention, and we as Southern Seminary are proud to stand with you. In mission, we know who we are. In identity, we belong to you. In conviction, we have a currency far more precious than gold. In focus, in spirit, and in accountability, we know where our priorities must be. Much attention has been given to a so-called study committee that came to visit your seminaries, a study committee that forfeited and declined the opportunity to actually meet with the faculty and meet with students. We want to invite not just any state convention that would wish to know more about us, but any Southern Baptist to come and visit our campuses, sit in our chapel services, sit in the classroom, hear what is taught, meet our students, feel their passion, see the evangelism on their heart, see the Great Commission in their eyes, see the love for the Scripture as they hold it in their hands, see their passion to serve the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe the more Southern Baptists come to know, the more generous will be their support, the more eager will be their excitement. Recently, a group of historians collaborated on a book with an interesting premise, and that is, what if? What if certain things had happened differently? What if Napoleon had won at Waterloo? What if D-Day had failed? What if Washington had not been able to get his troops back across the Delaware? What if the South had won the Civil War? There are some who still think perhaps that's an open question. Historians call this the paradox of counterfactuals. History could have been different. It's interesting to look back and to think, what if? It's far more tragic to look back and see, in so many cases, what did happen. If the Lord should tarry, I believe that Baptists will look back to this day, this year, this time, and if they see Baptists who pull back from the cooperative program, if they see Baptists who do not want to have a part in this, they will see great tragedy. I believe that there is the danger that there are some Baptists who will find themselves on the wrong side of history. More importantly than that, I fear they will find themselves on the wrong side of truth. And if their concern really is, as they have articulated it, they'll find themselves on the wrong side of accountability. And if they really are only concerned with training the Baptists of their convention in their state, they will find themselves on the wrong side of the Great Commission. By God's grace, may Southern Baptists be found standing where before God's word we know we ought to stand. And may, by God's grace, we stand together. Thank you, and God bless you.